Thank you for joining our live broadcast. Listen after the broadcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Book of Colossians, and as you are turning there, I want to give honor to my sweet sister. This is my sister, Sherry. We were born on the same day, 4 years apart. I'm the best gift she ever got, and I remind her that every year. This is her handsome husband. This is Danny Lamb and their two gorgeous daughters, Sheridan and Jocelyn. They live in Lufkin. I wish my dad could be with us. I wish we could all be together, but just health issues keep him from being here. But I'm very honored to have my sister and her husband and two beautiful daughters. Thank you. I enjoy a sense of humor. How many of you like to laugh? Okay, so here it is. Here's your sense of humor this morning. A government official went to a big congregation, and after the service, he asked the pastor, he said, "What can the government do to help this church out?" And the pastor looked at this government official, and he said, "Here's what you can do to help me out." He says, "You can take the $1 bill out of circulation." We're in a capital campaign, and as you can tell this morning from this wonderful audience, we're in a capital campaign for one reason, and that is because we want to make room for others. I said we want to make room for others. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Typically, I would read in the New King James Version. I am begging your blessing here this morning to allow me to go to a different version strictly because I like the way it says it so well. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Colossians 2, beginning at verse 13. "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins." Verse 14, "He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." For the next 20 minutes, I'd like to speak on this subject. He nailed it. Give somebody a big high five and tell them he nailed it. God bless you. You can be seated. I hold in my hand a very plain object. Everyone in this room knows what this is. It's a nail. And even though technology has changed many things, after thousands of years, we still use nails. You nail things when you really don't want to mess with it again. You use metal screws when you might need to undo what you've done. To get a metal screw out, you can just simply back it out. But many times if you put a nail in, it's a lot more difficult to get it out. But once something has been nailed down, it shouldn't be able to move. That makes a nail good for two purposes. Number one, fixing things that were broke. And then number two, holding things in place so that it doesn't break again. Many people use poor substitutes to hold things together, like glue, like tape. But Jesus used nails. I said Jesus used nails. And when the nails were used to hold Jesus in place, it was to hold him there until not only he died, but also every one of our sins every one of our sicknesses and every one of our problems died there too. He nailed it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything that is messed up or broken in our lives could be nailed down? How many agree this morning that our marriages need a good nail to hold us together? How many agree this morning that all of our problems and promises that we make need a good nail to hold them to us? How many agree this morning that all of our problems need a good nail to hold them down? I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in the Word of God, He likens Himself. Isaiah likens Jesus to a nail, and he says that he is a nail in a secure place. What does that mean? That means that you can hang up your hang-ups on this nail. That means you can hang up your marriage problems on this nail. That means you can hang up your problems on this nail. And guess what? This nail is strong enough to hold anything you can put on it, because he nailed it. And when he fastened it down, he fastened it in such a way that it wasn't going to move. I'm here to tell you that what the blood of Jesus did for your life, you can hang your past on the nail. You can hang your past on Jesus. A simple nail can tie different materials together. If you think about a building, think about a nail. A nail can bring a board together. It can take a board and place it to stone, place it to brick, place it to concrete, and through nails, it can actually bring so many different substances together in order to build a beautiful house. On the cross, it was used to hold wood and flesh together. Those nails made it possible for God and for us as sinners to be reconciled together. The scripture says in the New Living Translation, it says this: He canceled the records of charges brought against us. What does that mean? That means that in the Old Testament, the ordinances, the law of Moses, where it says that thou shalt not kill. If you killed a man under the old covenant, your life was taken. If you worked on the Sabbath, your life could be taken. Jesus literally took all of those ordinances from the old covenant and he nailed it to the cross. So that if you wanted to today, you can go and mow your yard. You can work real hard and nobody's going to take your life. Why? All because Jesus Christ nailed those commandments and those ordinances and your sins and your past. He nailed it to the cross. Look at three people and tell them, he nailed it. What did he nail, Pastor? Let me just encourage you this morning. Here's where I got this message. I got it from a simple thought that I felt like was born out of the Spirit. I felt the Spirit speak to me and say this: he was nailed down so you could get up. I heard it last week and it resonated. He was nailed down so you could get up. He was nailed down so you could get up. He was nailed down so you could go free. He was nailed down so you can have a future. He was nailed down so that you can be forgiven of all of your sins. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. I want to remind you that Jesus nailed it, and he did it all for you. Say, he did it for me. No, say it like you mean it. Say, you did it for me. Here's the great love of God. If you would have been the only one born, if you would have been the only one walking planet Earth, He would have come all the way down the Via Della Rosa just for you, to give you a choice, because that's how much he loves you. I'm not talking about a God that's angry with us. I am not talking about a God that is upset with us. I am talking about a God who went to Calvary for us and was willing to be nailed to an old rugged tree so that you could get up this morning, so that you could have hope, so that you could look forward to tomorrow. Come on, somebody, take 5 seconds and give God some praise. Do you understand the reason why you feel what you feel in this house is because of what Christ did at Calvary? Without, brothers and sisters, without the finished work of Calvary, without what Jesus did on the cross, no one, say no one, say no one, no one, absolutely no one in this room could ever go forward. I don't want to get deep into this, but real quick, if you don't have a lot of history in the Word of God, real quick, in the Old Testament, they constantly had to go and sacrifice bulls and sheep and goats. And when they sacrificed it, that blood ran. It was a type of Christ, his blood being shed. But do you know that their sins were never put behind them? Their sins were always rolled forward. What were they rolled forward to? They were rolling forward to Calvary. So that when Jesus nailed it, then he took all of those sins that were rolled forward, and all of the sins that you and I would commit rolled backwards. And he nailed literally every sin to the cross. Woo! I said he literally, from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the last person that will ever be saved, he rolled it all right there to the greatest plus symbol that the world has ever known. And that is the cross and the finished work of Christ. Oh, can I preach for a few minutes? See, that's the reason why, if you look at the tabernacle of Moses, there are no chairs in that tabernacle. How come, Pastor? Because as soon as the priest started his work, the priest was taking the animal, slaughtering the animal, draining its blood, cutting it up, placing it on the brazen altar. Then after that, he was making sure that incense was on the brazen altar of incense. He was making sure the fire was going so that it was a perpetual incense before the Lord. He was making sure that the lamps were trimmed and burning bright. And so from the time he got up until the time his day was done, he was constantly working. There was no time to be able to sit down. But if you'll notice in that tabernacle, and I don't have time to show you, there are no chairs there. No chairs. But Jesus is a type of our high priest. In the Old Testament, there was a high priest and they were constantly working for the people. But Jesus is a type of our high priest. And here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:2. He says that Jesus is now seated on the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? It means that when he went to Calvary and he said it was finished, he's no longer going about trying to do this and trying to do that. Brothers and sisters, he nailed your past, your present, and your future to the cross. He's not getting up anymore. He's just watching over his word to perform it. And when you come to an altar, all you got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. And if you mean it from your heart, I'm telling you, that blood washes every one of your sins away. That's good news, somebody. Shout, he nailed it. He nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. Many of you this morning, you have problems going forward in your life. You know why? Because you haven't been nailed down. I'm going to say that one more time. Many of you have got some problems this morning in your life because you haven't nailed some things down. I'm fixing to preach here now. You would have a lot less problems if you'd get your marriage nailed down to the cross and put Jesus in the center of it. And you would have a whole lot less problems with self if every morning you woke up and nailed self that wants its way to the cross. and say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take self and I'm going to nail it again to the cross so that Christ can be seen in me. Oh, isn't that good? Some of you still this morning, all of you sweet people, some of you still have sins that haunt you. Why? It's because they're still on you instead of on the cross. This is what Jesus said. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because he wasn't carrying all of your sins. He carried them to the cross. He nailed them and he left them there. He's not heavy burdened with all sickness and everything that's going on in the world. Why? Because every problem, he took it to the cross and he nailed it and he left it there. I'm going to ask some of you, why are you still carrying your sins around when Jesus nailed them to the cross? Can I even be so bold to preach? Why are some of you carrying sicknesses around when Jesus nailed it to the cross? He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Shout, he nailed it. What did he nail, Pastor? I'm going to tell you something he nailed. He nailed your fears down. God hath not given us fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He nailed your worries down. He said, don't fret about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He nailed your sorrows down. What did he nail down, Pastor? All of your troubles. He overcame so you wouldn't be overwhelmed. Oh, can I say it again? I said he overcame so that you wouldn't have to be overwhelmed. He nailed all of what you're carrying this morning that is a weight and a burden. He nailed it to the cross. Do you understand that with most religions, even today, there is a constant remembrance and a reminder of sins and failures, but not with the cross. What was accomplished on the cross with the help of those nails was our full pardon. Say full pardon. Full pardon. Our full redemption and our complete forgiveness. At the cross, he nailed it. What did he nail, Pastor? No more work to do to pay for our sins. Jesus is not working anymore as the high priest worked in the Old Testament. He said, this is one and done. I did it once and for all. And it is going to be forever finished. And check this out. Jesus and three nails defeated sin. And Jesus and 39 stripes defeated sickness. Once the nails went into Christ's hands and feet, it means that now we can get up and go on and build our lives on what he did. What does a nail do? Think about it. A nail supports. 1 Peter 5 and 7. A nail supports. It holds things up. Do you agree? Here's 1 Peter 5 and 7. Cast all of your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Have you ever threw a jacket on a nail and it held it up? Why? Because nails hold weight. They hold things up. A nail can hold up a picture. A strong enough nail can literally hold up a person. Y'all may think I'm joking, but I'm not lying to you. I saw a daddy one time. I saw a daddy do this. He got his 8-year-old boy and hung him up on a nail. And that nail held him. I don't suggest you do that, but I did see it. You say, Pastor, what about that? I'm going to prove to you something. Look real quick at Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 23. Do not have time to get into the verse-by-verse explanation of this. Just trust me on this one. This is Isaiah, and Isaiah now is talking about Jesus, and this is what he says. I will fasten him as a nail in a secure place. Don't have time to get into it, but he was actually talking about the cross. He was going to fasten Jesus to the cross as a nail, and he was going to be in a secure place. What is the analogy? The analogy is that you can take your problems, your marriage, your sin, and your sickness, and you can hang it on that nail, and you can walk away from it and know that that nail is strong enough to handle any weight that you can put on it. Because he said, cast, shout cast, cast all, not some. My daddy used to say, you don't have to have a degree to know what all means. All means everything. Cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You can absolutely rest everything on him. You can rest your worries, your arguments, your future, your past, and your struggles. And let me say this as well. His nail-pierced hands and feet prove, brothers and sisters, he not only could carry your sins, but he can also carry your sorrows, and yes, he can even carry you. Let me show you what it means to be a nail in Scripture. To me, this is a point I hope you get. It frees the builder. A nail frees the builder. Why? Because a nail holds things together. Without nails, guess what? Things we build would just be a deck of cards. Right? It comes crashing down. It all looks good as long as it's a beautiful day like today. But let there become just a little bit of wind and a little bit of rain, and guess what happens? A building that's not nailed together does what? It folds. You know what it does? A nail frees the builder. What do you mean by that? The builder is free once he nails it. He is free of fear that the structure's going to fall because he nailed it. A builder would be a very sad builder if he had to constantly keep propping up his roof and his ceiling and his walls. But when he nails it, it frees the builder to go and be able to do something else. Jesus nailed it at the cross. This is what Hebrews 9 and 12 says. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. His own blood. He entered into the most holy place. Check this out. Once for all. What did he do? Having obtained eternal redemption. Brothers and sisters, this is a powerful point. This is a one and done. I'm going to shout it again. This means a one and done. Jesus doesn't need to come back every few days and re-nail what he nailed to the cross. He is the master builder. So he doesn't have to come back every 3 days and say, oh, she sinned again. I got to go back to the cross. I got to jump back up there and let somebody nail me again. He's the master builder. And when he nailed your sin to the cross, your sickness and your sorrow, your pain, your struggle, brothers and sisters, when he nailed it, it was a one and done, and it is forever finished. And now you and I have eternal redemption because of what Christ did. At Calvary, he nailed it. Slap three people and tell them he nailed it. Slap them real good to wake them up. Woo. I'm hurrying. Because of that nail, you know what? Here's an old song that says, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Because I know who holds my future. My life is worth the living because he lived. You know why? Because when he nailed it, ladies and gentlemen, he gave me the power to get up and to live free.
What can I live free from? I can live free from the bondage of sin. I can live free from sickness and sorrow and burdens. And I can live free from fears. Why? Because he went into that holy place and he nailed all of it to the cross. And because he's a master builder, he could walk away and said, it's done.
Now think about the power of a nail. Hidden all around us in this room, you don't see them. But I promise you this, there are nails holding things together and make it possible for us to live and come in and go out of pretty amazing structures as a church, as a home of a high rise. We can come in and we can go out without fear that it's going to come and crash down on us. The nails of the cross held some very important things. It not only held Jesus, but it also held all the commandments you and I have broken. It also held all the failures and all the hurts that we have caused. And those nails held him there until he died. But guess what? He allowed every one of your sins to die with him. And every one of your sicknesses to die with him. And then after he died, he was buried. But here's the good news. The only thing that was resurrected was Jesus himself, because everything else died. And when he came out of that tomb, he didn't come out bringing your past. He didn't come out bringing your ugly sin. He didn't come out bringing your sorrow. Can I tell you, when that grave came open, he walked out with resurrection power, and it was all behind him. Why? Because he nailed it. Woo! I'm hurrying. Romans 6 and 8 says this. Romans 6 and 8. Now, if we died with who? If we died with Christ, this is Paul telling us the way that Jesus looked at it is that we died with Christ. What's going to happen if we believe that we died with Christ? Paul says we believe that we shall also live with him. Brothers and sisters, when you repent and you are born again of the water and the Spirit, that old man was nailed to the cross. And the only thing resurrected is Christ in you, because those old sins stay behind you. You're a new creature, Paul tells us, in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things, somebody shout all things have become new. He nailed your old life so that you could have a new one. Here's what John 8 and 36 says. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. How many free people I have here this morning? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now, the Bible gives us a glimpse, and I'm done, of how powerful the nailing of Jesus to the cross really was. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus didn't defeat his enemies with a gun, with a sling, with the sword, with the spear. He didn't defeat his enemies in that fashion. He defeated his enemies with three nails. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Let's go back to our text and I'm going to prove it. Colossians 2 and verse 15. In this way. In what way? Being nailed to a cross. That's what he's referring to. In this way. He's referring to being nailed to a cross. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. And what did he do? He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on a cross. He didn't need a shield or a spear or a slingshot to defeat his enemies. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. When Jesus was lifted up with three nails, he brought every stronghold down. He defeated every principality and every power and every ruler of darkness. He nailed it. Come on, somebody, clap your hands and give God some praise. Let's all stand together. I want you to look at me, please, if you can. I want you to look at me. You didn't know it, but all this week I've been praying for you. We have many guests here this morning, and I may not know your name. We may have never met, but I'm going to tell you, early in the morning, I have been praying for you. I have been praying for this day. And in fact, I've been praying over you a Bible verse. I want to read what I've been praying over you. It's found in Ephesians. It's found in Ephesians 3 and 18. And this is what I've been praying over this whole congregation. Ephesians 3 and 18. And may you have the power to understand, as God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. That's what I've been praying this week over every one of you. You say, Pastor, how do I know God loves me? Three nails proves that God loves you. And his love is so wide, so deep, so high, and so long that there's literally no way that you can even fathom the great love of Christ. You're a wonderful audience. You've been very kind to me. But look, in just a minute, I'm going to ask every one of you who wants to. I'm going to ask every one of you in just a minute. If you want to make heaven, if you want to go to heaven, and that's what you want to be your eternal home, balcony, back row, front row, middle row, I'm going to ask everyone in this room that wants to go to heaven, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to come to the front.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.